This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Big Bear Mark.
This is Luke the Wonder Cub.
And this is a podcast for Brekkie Bears
on Joy 94.9.
This is the Brekkie Bears. This is Big Bear Mark and Luke the Wonder Cub in the studio.
Yes.
And sitting right next to me, I'm all a flutter because it's the lovely Margaret Cho.
Hi.
Hey, thank you very much for making time to come and see us at Joy.
Thank you.
It's not the first time you've seen us at Joy. You came in a couple of years ago, didn't
yes,
you?
I was here before, so it's nice to come back.
It's lovely to see you again.
Yes.
Very is. I want to ask you, bears, because we're bears. You can obviously tell we're bears.
Clearly. We are large and hairy creatures. That's what we do.
And you've friends with the guys who do Where the Bears Are. And you did the bear song with Jill Soberly.
Yes.
And in the tradition of that song, if you were a man, would you want to be a bear?
I would definitely want to be a bear. I mean, I think that to me it's the most exciting subculture. I mean, also like there's this... the other leather bear. So that to me is my favorite.
That's me.
Leather bears are so fabulous. It's so fun. And then I go to Folsom Street Fair.
Yeah, fantastic.
Which is kind of like the big meeting of all the leather communities, but leather bears are especially represented. That's very, very cute, very cool.
What about leather bears in particular do you relate with?
I think the smell. There's a smell of hairy leather kind of... big men. I just love the way it looks. Leather, something about leather in a harness that just like in a bear body, the hair. It's perfect. It's very sexy.
In fact, I just got a new pair of chaps this morning.
Oh, you did?
I did.
You've been shopping.
I did. They got delivered this morning.
And
I was like,
fabulous.
That new leather smell.
Oh, I love that.
I love it.
Are they like zipper or like lace up?
They're zipper.
Mm-hmm.
But it folds over so you can't see the zipper.
Oh, it's like, so gorgeous.
I love it, yeah.
I love it.
Exactly. It feels like I've been on a journey with you because I've been a fan so long.
Oh.
And it's been since I'm the one that you want,
mm-hmm.
All the way through to today. And do you feel like people come up to you and they think they know you?
Yeah, well, we have a solid bond over time. I really enjoy performing and getting that connection with people. So it's really great to grow along with your audience. And so it's nice. I like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like, we're about the same age.
Mm-hmm.
Not giving it away, but we're about the same age.
Yes.
And it is interesting. Have you felt that your comedy has changed over the years? Obviously, you grow and change. What's your comedy like today?
I think you want to you grow as a person, and then you want to represent that growth in your work. And so for me, I think I'm able to do a lot more different kinds of things. I'm a lot more maybe more aggressive, more progressive things. I feel like I'm braver than I was before, which is good.
That's good. If you had to go back to when you were doing All American Girl,
mm-hmm.
what advice would you give Margaret Cho at that age?
Oh, a lot more. I mean, I think that I would be much more, entitled to kind of just, do what I wanted to do and not feel as confined by that. That point, and television was very different in America.
Yeah.
You know, and it was almost like the studio system where the celebrities or the stars from each studio were very afraid to act out or act sort of themselves. And so like back in the day in the golden age of filmmaking, people were very closeted and very conservative and didn't want people to know who they really were. And so I think I was just very much afraid to kind of be myself then. So I think my advice would be more just to be myself.
And how do you feel about that these days in terms of people being closeted in Hollywood and in TV?
It's weird.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's really weird because there's so much of this love for gay celebrities and this acceptance around, I think, sexuality, identity, so much of that. But people still feel like they've got to be confined or they've got to... I don't know, adhere to this old system that doesn't really exist anymore.
Because you seem to be on the cutting edge of being that acceptance. Have you yourself faced discrimination because of it?
I think from my own experience, I remember kind of coming up and being bisexual. And I think like the people that I work with, like managers at the time, were very scared of that. They didn't want me to kind of talk about my own homosexuality, my own bisexuality, that part of my identity was really scary to a lot of people that I was working with in the 90s. I mean, that shifted over time and certainly doesn't affect me now, but back then it was really different.
And I definitely think you are definitely a master of your craft.
Oh, thank you.
And I can see that throughout the many tours I've been and seen you. And who has influenced you and who has made you tell your truth and develop your skills?
I think the most influential person, who is also a friend, was probably Joan Rivers.
Yeah.
She's somebody that I was very close to and learned a lot from, and always taught me to value what I was able to do and gave me a lot of support, a lot of advice. I mean, her death was really shocking, even though she's older. But she had such a huge presence in my life and a lot of other comedians' lives that I think we may have underestimated. You know, now that I've spent some time on the earth without her, it's really weird. Like, you know, you always had that person to call or like go back and say, what is this? What should I be doing? And, you know, she's not there. It's really strange.
And you're filling her shoes in Fashion Police. And
yeah.
It's like, is it strange working on that show when you know that that was Joan's gig?
It was great. It was it was great to watch her on the show and be on it with her. And then she really introduced the world to the idea of a red carpet. You know, she created the red carpet. She created fashion commentary on the red carpet because she wanted people to have a sort of a front row seat to that, you know, the theater of what is show business. And so it's a real honor to work on the show now. And I have a great time with Melissa Rivers, who's my sister. We just try, every episode, we just try to make Melissa laugh because she has the most raunchy, rotten sense of humor. So that's like kind of the whole point of it, is just trying to make her laugh by being as rude as possible.
I always, my mother always uses a Joan Rivers line about my birth, because Joan used to say, "Oh, you ripped me to shreds, Melissa." And she uses that with me because I was a big baby.
Oh, so it's cute.
It's very cute.
But Joan was really special. And she was like the original, like, she always had like gay guys at her house. Talking like Laurence Olivier and Danny Kaye.
Yeah.
Like, she was always like entertaining gay Hollywood. And this is in the 60s and the 70s, you know. So she's a role model for sure, in a lot of ways.
Do you entertain gay? Is that a thing that...
My house now is like, I now live in the canyon. I moved. So now I'm a lady of the canyon, which makes it a little inconvenient to have these lavish dinner parties like I used to. But at one point, I definitely was, for sure. But then, you know, now it's shifted. So maybe if I get another canyon abode, I can invite
everyone across. Lovely.
That'd be fabulous.
Exactly. I talked about people who influenced you. Have you influenced people? And is there someone we should be looking out for in the future who is upcoming?
I think, everybody knows her, Amy Schumer. Major talent, major somebody who I love also personally, and somebody who's making great strides in comedy and movies and TV. She's phenomenal. Another person that I just saw, and she's really great, Ali Wong, who's an amazing comedian. She has a special out on Netflix called Baby Cobra, where she recorded it when she was 8 months pregnant. So it's very cool. She's really great, really exciting comedian. So I really love her too.
Lovely. I blame you for something.
Yes.
I blame you for my addiction to watching a guilty pleasure called Drop Dead Diva.
Oh, I love Drop Dead Diva.
So do I.
It's a good show.
It's a good show. And because you were obviously part of the cast, unfortunately that finished. But is there something coming up that you, are you working on TV or movies? Or?
I do a show. I wrote and created a show called Highland, which is not out yet, but it's all about the big marijuana boom in California. So it's a little bit like Dallas, but instead of oil, it's weed. So it's a bit of a soap opera. Yeah. It's about this family that gets very wealthy, really seeing this shift in the way that people are buying pot. It's pretty incredible.
And it's about a family, is that right?
It's about a Korean family. And this Korean family, like Korean families traditionally like bought liquor stores. And so the pot dispensary is sort of the next step. So it's all about this very unique Korean American family really looking to a new kind of American dream.
Is your mum based on?
Yes. So she's in it. She's definitely not a pro marijuana person in the
what
show.
What would she be saying about?
So, oh, I don't know. I don't like this. No. They don't like pot, but they like the money.
Now, I know music is a huge part of your life.
Yes.
And you've just come out with American Myth.
Yes, yes.
And I mean, you wonderful songs like Anna Nicole. And you knew Anna Nicole as well, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. She was really a magical person. And what a really tragic story of her life and her death. It's really a strange thing even now to think about her gone for more than 10 years. It's really weird, but she was an icon to me. She was a friend to me, but also somebody that I think really was in the first wave of like the tide against people on social media. So she really experienced like a lot of like trolling in a very, very weird time where this is this had never happened before. So she was a she was really bullied a lot by the media and everything online, but she was still a very, very bright spirit.
And the album, it seems to me, seems very personal and very... Yeah. It was a cathartic experience almost.
Yeah. I mean, I love making music and it's something that I will always do. But the songs on it, there's like a lot of very, I think, really emotional songs. Mm. Like there's a song called Come With Me, which is all about prostitution and about sex work from the perspective of like really respecting sex workers, because I think that's a very I don't know why it's a controversial stance, but I do think that sex workers should be respected and should be thought of as workers and also protected. But it's a very it's a weird profession for people to want to judge and talk about, and I don't know. So there's a lot of different things. There's a song called I Want to Kill My Rapist, which is basically that. It's all about cathartic rage and looking to a way to find and heal yourself through sexual abuse in a way that's sort of a different perspective. So I love making the video for that, which is always very young kids who are all very talented martial artists. So it's very cathartic and beautiful and healing to do that.
It was a great film clip, and that poor guy in the boot.
Oh, but he's in Drop Dead Diva. That's Grayson.
Oh, right, that's Grayson.
It's
lovely.
Grayson. It's
Oh my
Jackson
God.
Hurst.
He's gorgeous.
He's beautiful, and he's a great actor. And then the little baby is actually Ryder Hurst, who's his 11-week-old son.
Oh my God!
First time Ryder had been out of the house since he was born, and so it was great to have part of the Drop Dead Diva family there.
Yeah. Now, you were, when gay marriage in America became legal, you were ordained by San Francisco City, weren't you, to perform gay marriages?
Yes. So I did some also over time. I've been able to be a part of a lot of different ceremonies, a lot of men and women. I got to marry a lot of couples all over the place, and it's just a really beautiful thing. And to be able to do it in San Francisco too, we were able to do some at City Hall, which was the site of Harvey Milk's assassination.
Yeah.
So it's a very powerful thing to go back to a place like that, which is filled with sorrow and sadness, and do something really healing like perform a gay wedding. It's really powerful. So I was really grateful to be able to do that.
I don't know if you've heard or been in the country long enough to hear about the debacle that is the marriage debate in Australia yet.
Mm. Well, yes, I know that it's been taking a long time for this to happen, and I'm hoping that it happens soon.
At the moment they're talking about having a plebiscite, which is a vote by the people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not binding. The people in Parliament don't have to vote according to the plebiscite.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of crazy, and I think most people just want them to do their job and vote for it as a free vote in the parliament to get it through. And it would if they could get the free vote through.
Right. But the you wouldn't want to put that kind of a decision in the hands of the people, because they're going to like vote with their homophobia. They're going to vote with their ignorance and their fear about who the gay community is and what marriage equality really is.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't trust that amongst the populace for anyone, and certainly not in America. You know, you couldn't be able to do that same thing. You couldn't push gay marriage forward if you had something like that. That's why the Supreme Court had to make the decision to create marriage equality. And so it's a way to delay progress, I think, here, to put it to a plebiscite. I think it's wrong.
Yeah. Definitely feels that way. And of course, the cost of doing something like this as well, everyone's talking about, it's going to cost all this money to actually have this happen.
Yeah.
And then potentially it not mean anything anyway. Even if we as a people, if we vote and say yes, marriage equality, they might still turn around and go, oh, okay, well, we don't have to actually do that. There's no binding thing. So it could cost a lot of money and result in nothing, which I think is the biggest fear.
Yeah, and it's just a delaying of the inevitable, which is marriage equality, and something that we should have here in Australia. Oh. We've been waiting. We're talking about it since Julia Gillard.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, something that should be happening.
Exactly. We should have it right now.
Yes.
But we don't, unfortunately. What can we expect from your brand new show? There is no I in team, but there is a Cho in Psycho.
it's crazy. It's like a very, it's about cathartic rage. It's about the healing power of cathartic rage, which is, I think, what I'm all about. What I want is for healing. What I want is for empowerment. And so it's a fun show. I'm excited about it.
That's fantastic. And I know that your last show was Mother.
Mm-hmm.
Does Mother make an appearance?
Yeah, she's in a slot too. Yeah, so she's great.
That's lovely, because she is amazing.
Thank you.
Now, just to reiterate, Margaret is in the country from she's doing shows from the 6th of September. That's in Perth. You're going to have to wait, unfortunately, till the 12th of September for Margaret to appear in the Athenaeum Theatre in Melbourne. And you can get tickets through Ticketek as well.
Yep.
Highly recommend you go and see Margaret if you haven't ever seen Margaret in concert. It is an amazing show. I've been to everyone.
Oh, I love you.
It's absolutely amazing. Oh, let's see, because I think we've got a little time.
Mm-hmm.
If I said to you a few words, what would can you tell me what your mother would think about?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Okay. It's like, well, homosexuality.
And there is gay. Sometimes the gay, they like their friends so much, they don't know what to do. So this gay. This gay is when they have a friend and they like their friend. So this gay.
What about bisexuality?
This is when you have many friends. So they have all kind of friends, and you like all your friends like that.
Donald Trump.
Oh, no.
No.
No. I don't know why the people, I don't know. He's no.
Hillary Clinton.
I like Hillary Clinton. I vote for her. She's good. Yeah.
Thank you very much. And just quickly, on the American presidential race, we in Australia can't believe.
Oh, it's insane.
It's like what that man is saying.
I don't know what he's saying either. It's so weird. I think that what happened in America is that they think that like reality television is somehow real, or that it's okay to be like that. Like, I think Donald Trump is just a product of what's been bad about American television for so long, and I don't know how he could possibly be an elected official. I don't know how he could be like considered for the most important job in the world. Mm. It's really weird.
Because we had someone like that get back into Parliament recently, mm-hmm. Pauline Hanson.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. she is someone that a lot of people in Australia were very surprised that she got back in based on her points of view.
Yeah.
But she was on Dancing with the Stars a few years ago.
So you know, weird.
She was in all these sort of reality shows.
Yeah.
I think her ex-husband won Australian Survivor back in the day. So she's kind of like this known entity in television. And I think that's why people voted for her because she's like this known entity. I think Donald Trump is a bigger version of that.
It's like a known entity that you sort of maybe think of as part of entertainment, but then this is not entertainment, it's politics. I mean, this is really the world.
Yeah.
And so you wouldn't want that kind of power to be in the hands of, I don't even know what, it's so weird.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's like, I love watching Rachel Maddow. I don't know if you know.
Oh yeah, I love her.
And she said that, she had a theory that in the absence of good parties and politics, the racist and the fringe rise.
Right.
And I think that's really happened in Australia and America at the moment.
That
because the political parties are just not capturing what the public want.
Right. Right. And so it's a very strange thing. But I can't imagine that Donald Trump could possibly win. You know, I really don't want that to happen.
I can't imagine that man would have the nuclear codes.
No.
No,
that's too scary.
So it's a scary possibility.
He is friends with Putin and that, but very, very
that's
scary.
True. That's true.
Margaret Cho, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you today. It's been a dream come true for me.
I love you. Thank you.
And thank you for making time for see us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy your tour.
Thank you.
This has been a podcast for the Brekkie Bears on Joy 94.9.
If you like our podcast, why not rate us on iTunes and Stitcher? Woof girl.
Woof girl.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.